Yeah. Better than this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys, me and dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Wednesday edition of the show. Our first 2020 mock draft will be done right here on this podcast. Kyle, welcome.
Thanks, Joe. Glad we could finally get together after 20 minutes of chasing our tails, courtesy of Zencastr. If you're ever looking to get into remote podcasting, I would highly recommend using any other service other than Zencastr.com.
Good to be here. 25 minutes after we hope to start, we've got a TDN meeting coming up in a short period of time. So we got to do this thing.
Well, this is kind of good. It gets us under the... We do our best work under pressure.
Yeah, and here we are. We're under pressure. We can't be late to our own meeting.
No, it's true. But... All right, yep, we've already done the 32 picks in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft in this mock draft, in which we are not using the Vegas odds orders, Joe. We are using our prediction or the records from our predictions, courtesy of a website that actually works the way it's supposed to, playoffpredictors.com, in which we selected the winner of every single NFL game on the schedule for the 2019 NFL season and the playoffs.
So if you're mad about where your team is picking, you can blame us, and you can reach us at Twitter, Bay Trey, at Benjamin Solek.
No, send your emails to Zencastr.
Oh, yeah, Zencastr. They're not going to care about draft order, though.
Well, you know, I don't care about their terrible product.
All right, so you have odds, I have evens. And...
It's true. It's true. So... Do we want to go through the draft order once first, or do we just want to reveal it as we go?
Go as we... If you haven't been listening for like the last 10 days, you're just going to have to find out as we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I think I've started every mock with that jingle.
Would you like to make a trade here, though?
I would. And these two teams just did business.
Yeah.
Involving a quarterback.
Yeah.
But the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. Can I do that?
If you give up, I'll let you do it for the sake of this mock. If you give up 21,
the first
the Cardinals will pick 3 and 21. Yeah, they might make the same.
Oh, geez. No, can't do that. Can't give up 3 and 21 to jump up two spots.
Really?
No.
All right.
You see what the Dolphins' offensive line looks like, Bubba?
I do.
So the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock, and they're picking Jerry Jeudy in this mock draft. Because for me, Jerry Jeudy is the best football player in this year's draft class based on everything we've seen to this point in time. 11:28 p.m. on Wednesday, September 4th. 28 minutes after we were supposed to start our podcast.
All right.
At this point in time, Jerry Jeudy, best football player, period. Arizona Cardinals... Cliff Kingsbury, they need some more dynamic weapons. I know they like what they got in Isabel in the slot. Let's get a stud. Volume receiver, Jerry Jeudy.
Kyler to Jerry. Let's go.
Yeah, that's going to sell some tickets.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what they care about there, right?
Correct.
Number two overall, the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm the general manager, and we're going to go with a new direction at quarterback.
Justin Herbert.
No, it's not. It's
sure.
Everybody knows my QB1, Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback from Alabama, pairing him with Zach Taylor, and the Bengals are suddenly going to be favorites in the AFC for years to come.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I got a little crazy there. But look, I'm excited. He's my number one quarterback prospect. He's my number one player in this draft. I love him. Love his how controlled he is under chaos. Love his accuracy. Just so natural. Everything he does, man. Give me Tua.
Now, I don't know if you knew this, but the Dolphins, who are on the clock at 3, they're going to be real bad this year. And the reason why they're going to be real bad is because they need a quarterback. And in a perfect world, they could walk away with Tua Tagovailoa. But if your consolation prize is my third overall prospect on my board entering the 2019 college football season, and he just so happens to be a quarterback, you did okay. Which is why the Dolphins are going to pick Justin Herbert, who I think has a little bit of a higher physical ceiling than Tua Tagovailoa. Just needs to, you know, continue that development and progression upwards and not get stagnant.
So did you see Pro Football Focus? They put out their power rankings and win total projections.
No.
Today. They did it today. Today, Kyle. They have the Dolphins winning 6.5 games.
They're drunk. There's 0% chance the Dolphins win
their 6.5 games. Their power rankings has the Miami Dolphins at 24, Kyle. 24.
So ninth or eighth worst team in the NFL.
Pro Football Focus has them 24th in their power rankings that were released today on September 4th. Behind them, the Buccaneers, Lions, Giants, Bengals, Bills, Cardinals, Jets, Raiders.
I'm here for the Lions slander, but that's it.
I mean, come on now. Dolphins are 32. They're 32. I don't care what you say.
Did you see ESPN? They did like 2,000 simulations of the 2020 season, and they like randomly picked one, and the Dolphins were 8-8.
Oh, my. I can't believe the expectations for the Dolphins are this high. I can't believe it.
Yeah. 2 months ago, I was complaining about how little respect they got. And now they're getting too much now that they got rid of all the players that like gave them a reasonable chance to win a couple football games.
Oh, boy. All right. I'm on the clock now with the Giants, number 4 overall. This sets up very nicely. A team that I think is very much in need of pass rushing talent off the edge. They get the best edge rusher in the class and Chase Young from Ohio State. You got those bullies inside and Dexter Lawrence and Dalvin Tomlinson. And BJ Hill, and now you get a nice outside pass rusher in Chase Young. Nobody like him on this roster. It's a big need, and we solidify it right here at number 4 overall.
Well, listen, my only regret with that pick is that we know how much the Jacksonville Jaguars love to pick defensive linemen in the top 10, and the Jaguars went on the clock at 5. I wouldn't have actually considered them there. That's just kind of a lighthearted jab at the Jags for constantly picking defensive guys. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to give him an offensive guy. Joe, what's your biggest complaint about the Jaguars?
They don't have anything I'm scared of in terms of offensive weaponry. Not one thing.
So how about some CeeDee Lamb on this Jaguars offense? Nick Foles getting a premier pass catcher. You know, in probably 8 out of every 10 years, I'm going into a season thinking CeeDee Lamb is like wide receiver 1 because he's very dynamic in a lot of ways. He's not super explosive, but he runs crisp routes, phenomenal hands, phenomenal catch radius, phenomenal contested catchability and body control. I think he would be a very big upgrade in a different kind of dynamic relative to all the lean body speed guys the Jaguars have on their roster.
That'd be something there to work with, to throw the football to, that I might have to lose a few minutes of sleep over if I'm a defensive coordinator. Not right now. Somebody try to come at me telling me D.D. Westbrook. I'm like, every team in the NFL has D.D. Westbrook, you know? All right. Jaguars fans are going to hate me. Number 6 overall, I have the Oakland Raiders. I am Mike Mayock right here. And I'll tell you what, man. These pass rushers, these good pass rushers are hard to find. A.J. Epinesa, edge rusher from Iowa. Him and Cleveland Farrell, man, that'd be a couple of really powerful dudes, heavy-handed guys to really condense that pocket and allow some of those interior penetrators they have to make some plays. So really like how that defense would formulate. And I think it's a good predictive pick. You think about Paul Gunther and types of defensive ends he's had throughout the course of his time in Cincinnati, and obviously the Cleveland Farrell pick. I think this really kind of fits their prototype.
Washington Redskins coming on the clock at 7, Joe. And we got to end the slide here because this player is a phenomenal football player. Washington currently in a little bit of a standoff, I think, to put it mildly, with their left tackle. So why don't we shift our eyes towards the future? Let's get another big-bodied, long-armed, super athletic for his size, left tackle of the future to protect Dwayne Haskins, who, as not the most mobile quarterback, will need really strong pass protection. Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle, left tackle from Georgia, great value here with the 7th overall pick in this simulation. Really like that fit with Washington, too.
Yeah, him with Bill Callahan. Let's go. Good player, man. Such a clean projection for him. All right, number eight overall, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, always a high-stress pick to make in the world of TDN. And this is another one of those got-to-stop-the-slide type thing. Grant Delpit, safety from LSU. Honestly, I know that they just drafted some really good, exciting young defensive backs, but that doesn't prevent you from taking a player like Delpit, who is very extremely versatile. You can play him up. You can play him in man deep. Anything you want to do for a safety. And these are these chess pieces, these matchup equalizers that you need on defense now. And Delpit can be that type of player, a true field general, tone setter type player. I think that he is one of those transcendent type pieces of a defense that that you just don't pass over at this point. You'd love to get an edge rusher for the Bucs, but not at the expense of passing up on Grant Delpit in this scenario.
I'll tell you what, man. These LSU defensive backs might be DBU. What do you think? I know Texas just claimed it this week.
Yeah, after not having a first-round defensive back in 7 years, they put their team out there with the shirts on. That's bad. It's not a Florida State-LSU discussion, and that's it.
Well, Florida would have a claim if they stopped putting out busts.
Yeah, they get drafted high. They're just never good.
Well, we had T's got cut. Did Quincy Wilson get cut, too?
He's hanging around. He's hanging around.
Vernon Hargraves hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
CJ Henderson, really, really disruptive or really disturbing start to his 2019 season as the next guy in line.
Still allergic to tackling is CJ Henderson.
Well, the guy that I'm going to take for the San Francisco 49ers at corner is not allergic to tackling, Joe. Christian Fulton, another LSU defensive back. That's two in the top nine. Fulton, long-levered. Physical. I love his aggressiveness. I love his ball skills. The 49ers, what was it, 2 years ago? Was it 2 or 3 years ago that they drafted Akello Witherspoon?
In 17, I think.
If Akello Witherspoon was not soft, I would have thought he had a very promising chance to be a plus starter at the NFL level. I don't want to stick a fork all the way in Akello Witherspoon yet, but he hasn't progressed to a degree in which I'm encouraged by. Richard Sherman is 30, 31 years old, has already had to come back from an Achilles tear, and he wasn't fully explosive like we're used to seeing Sherman. He's up against the clock with Father Time, too. So, with that in mind, Fulton is kind of cut from that same cloth as Sherman. I really like that fit with San Francisco. Get him a chance to learn under Richard Sherman.
Last pick in the top 10 belongs to the Detroit Lions. And I am going with a cornerback here. This is a second corner in a row. Paulson Adebo from Stanford. Love his versatility, physical guy. Ball skills are present. They need a guy opposite Darius Slay. I love they got Justin Coleman now in the slot. Like some of the pieces on the defensive line. But I think they have a liability at starting corner opposite Darius Slay. Let's get that shored up with one of my favorite prospects in the class here in Paulson Adebo.
Little run on corners here, Joe. The Denver Broncos are on the clock at number 11, and there's one more like stud corner that I feel really good about as being one of these top three in this year's NFL draft class. A group of corners that is a very talented group. I'll put it that way. There's a lot of guys that I think we'll see sneak into the first round here at the corner position, but Bryce Hall is the one for me that has all the boxes checked. As far as ball skills, physicality, length, his ability inside the contact window to really reroute wide receivers. The Broncos, listen, they got a defensive head coach. It seems like they've kind of embraced a non-dynamic offense, if you will, a little bit more of a vanilla offense, and they're going to just really attack the defensive side of the ball. And Bryce Hall, I think, helps them do that at a better level in 2020.
Love Bryce Hall, man. Love him. All right, number 12 here. I've got the New York Jets. I've got an exciting young quarterback in Sam Darnold, a running back I just paid tons of money for, and I've got replacement-level players at offensive tackle.
Not great.
And Kelvin Beachum and Brandon Shell. I'm going to upgrade that with Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle from Iowa. He played on the left side this week, man. I don't know if you saw that. And he's one of the freakiest athletes in this class. I mean, his raw strength and his measurables and how he moves for his size is very, very exciting. I think he's going to be a plus starter in the NFL. It's time to get Sam Darnold some help on that offensive line.
Yeah, that's a home run fit, especially when you consider The one addition they did have on the offensive line was KO, right?
They also, they've got Ryan Khalil out of retirement. So they got better on the interior. Khalil, I mean, I'm not sure. He didn't play great for Carolina last year. And he came out of retirement late to be their starting center. So we'll see. You know, I think he's more of a one-year guy, if anything. And KO is coming off a down year for the Raiders. We know what he can be. But, yeah, I mean, there's just shaky stuff across that front five for the Jets.
The Indianapolis Colts are picking 13th. I believe we had this team finishing 7-9. I'm going to make it real easy, Joe. Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State. Andrew Luck just retired very unexpectedly to the fan base. And I know they just extended Jacoby Brissett. I believe it was 2 years, $30 million.
Yep.
But in the grand scheme of things, they haven't married themselves to Jacoby Brissett. They've effectively added an extra year onto his contract to help him be a stabilizing force. But they're not committed, and I don't think they should be committed. I think you need to go get a guy with a little bit of a higher ceiling.
All right, I've got the Tennessee Titans here at number 14. I got to help this interior offensive line. Ben Jones is a free agent after the season. He's a projected starter at center, replacement caliber player. I think center's really becoming one of the really important positions in the NFL, especially when you have, I guess any quarterback, to be honest with you. They can all use a very reliable center. Let's get them a dude like Tyler Beatus from Wisconsin, best center in the class, total ass kicker up front. I think he's one of those, I don't want to say a Quentin Nelson type interior offensive lineman because that's a very exclusive company, but maybe just a tick below in terms of what I think he can do for a front five.
Music to my ears, Joe. Imagine giving Tyler Beatus a go back to school grade.
Ah, brother. Could not be me.
Could not be me. Carolina Panthers are picking 15, Joe. I'm picking for your second hometown.
Yeah.
Keep pounding.
Keep pounding.
What did you think of this pick?
I didn't. I wanted to take this player that you're going to pick about six times already, but I let him slide. And I think it's the right pick because you, well, I'm not going to give it away, but you have some expiring contracts there.
Yep.
And yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
This kind of was a blend of BPA and looking at the roster. And on the defensive line, you've got Kaywon Short is 30 years old. Jerry McCoy's 31. Dontari Poe's 29. You mentioned the contract situation with those guys going forward. Derrick Brown is still on the board. And with Derrick Brown on the board, this is a best player available that just so happens to fit long-term needs for the Panthers roster.
Yeah, McCoy and Vernon Butler both expiring, and Poe. I mean, I don't. Poe was a bad signing to begin with, so they can use some replenishment there. I like it. Number 16, Buffalo Bills. Gonna get
our
Josh
Bills.
Our Bills gonna get Josh Allen a weapon here. One of my favorite receivers in this class. Henry Ruggs from Alabama. What's that dude run? Like a 4.2 something, right? Just sick speed. But it's not just speed with this guy. He's not John Ross 2.0. This is a guy with ball skills. This is a guy that can create after the catch, runs nuanced routes, man. He is going to create space that Josh Allen needs to fit the football and obviously help with the spacing of the Bills offense. A true vertical threat, but I think he can win at every level of the field. Big fan of Ruggs and would like to pair him with Josh Allen this offense to see what can happen.
Well, I'm going to make another pick to pair a receiver with an offense. The Baltimore Ravens on the clock at 17. And the Ravens went out, and they drafted Hollywood Brown, and they drafted Miles Boykin. Boykin ideally is your X. Hollywood Brown is your Z. How about a guy that you can move around, be a slot, be a guy you can manufacture some touches for, but has a really special skill set with the ball in his hands. Complements the Ravens offense because they have speed components in there and they have spacing components in there. I think that really adds up to me really liking the fit of Laviska Shenault, the wide receiver from Colorado, going into this Ravens pass catcher group and really giving Lamar Jackson the absolute best chance that he has to be successful with those two rookies from 2019 having a year under their belt. Shenault, the tight end group that they have, really building a very nice complementary set of receivers for Lamar.
I think that's one of my favorite picks of the first round. I really like how he complements that group. And like you said, they're going to be a really interesting offense. And part of what they're going to do is manufactured throws. Who else would you rather have manufactured throws to than Laviska Shenault? I think it's a slam dunk pick. Good job. I've got the Minnesota Vikings at number 18. We know that Mike Zimmer Rick Spielman, they like to draft corners, defensive backs, and we've got Trey Waynes as a free agent. We've got Mackenzie Alexander as a free agent. How about Jeffrey Okuda from Ohio State? A lot of people think he could be the best corner in this class. I want to see him a little bit more confident with the way he plays, and especially when there's opportunities to attack the football in the air and make plays. But from a physical profile, I mean, he has every trait you're looking for in terms of being a top NFL cornerback. I think this would be good value at a sleepy position of need. Xavier Rhodes, I'm not going to put too much stock into the preseason, but he didn't look like Xavier Rhodes to me either. So I think they need some young talent here at cornerback. I know they have Mike Hughes. I think he'll play slot for them. I think they can use another boundary guy, and Okuda can give them that.
Death taxes in the Vikings drafting corners in the first round. Seattle Seahawks on the clock, Joe.
This is a super Seattle pick here, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think about the athletic profile of this guy. I think about the style of play that Seattle plays. I think about having a mismatch eraser, a guy that you can move all over. You think about what the Seahawks were able to do when they had Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas on the back end of their defense. And Isaiah Simmons is a little bit more of a linebacker type. But at the same time, I am in love with the concept of that long, explosive athlete of Isaiah Simmons playing in the back seven of the Seattle Seahawks. I think they could do so much to maximize his skills.
I mean, play him like in a Cam Chancellor hybrid role.
Mm-hmm.
God, perfect. Beautiful. They need a lot of help, too, in the secondary. I've got the Dallas Cowboys here at number 20. Missed the playoffs. What was the record? 11-5 or something? 10-6?
11-5 missed the playoffs.
Jesus, man.
Seahawks missed the playoffs too, by the way.
Yeah. All right, so I have the Dallas. You think about Dallas, there's two big needs, right? Tight end and safety. Those are the two big needs that kind of you always pop. I don't have a tight end to help them with, but I've got a safety worth this pick. I'm talking about Xavier McKinney from Alabama. Think of do everything type defensive back in the mold of Grant Delpit, but maybe a B-plus version of him. And I think that he would pair very nicely with Xavier Woods. It gets Jeff Heath out of the starting lineup. I think that you can do a lot with McKinney. You can play man coverage up against tight ends, which you've got some good ones there in Philadelphia who are, you know, going to be a thorn in your side for years to come if you don't get a matchup eraser type player. So McKinney, if he can clean up some of those tackling issues, man, he'd be every bit worth the top 20 pick.
Remember when you tried to get me to trade 3 and 21 to go to 1?
Yeah, you get 2, you get the best quarterback. I'd have done it.
3 and 21 with an offensive line that includes Julian Davenport, Michael Dieter, Daniel Kilgore, Shaq Calhoun, and Jesse Davis.
Shaq Calhoun's like a UDFA. He's going to start this year, right?
Right. Right.
What's up with that?
That's not that he's good. It's they have nobody else. There's a reason why they went out and traded for Danny Isdora and they traded for Evan Bame. It's because they needed bodies. So I couldn't do that deal if I was going to give up 21 because I knew I was going to get an offensive lineman that I liked. It didn't matter if it was an interior guy or an offensive tackle. It just so happens that Lucas Niang is still on the board. Very athletic for TCU. Really like his ability to effectively frame blocks in his pass sets. His feet aren't always the cleanest, but you can tell he's a really springy, dynamic athlete on the edge of the offensive line. And if I could have got a trade and gotten above Cincinnati to draft Tua and won without giving up 21, I'm just saying because I probably could have found a way to make it work with 2 first-round picks in 2021 as well. Now I've got a blindside protector for Tua on my right tackle in Lucas Niang.
Fantasy futures selection for Joe Marino, Lucas Niang. Like to see that.
How many points you score?
I scored a lot right there.
200. In real life, how many points you score in fantasy
futures? Sir, it's week one. Sir, calm down.
Because I'm in first place.
We'll talk to me by the end of the year. I don't know what's going on with your Raiders pick here. I don't know what happened to it. But
yeah, I took it out because I was an idiot. I gave him Yetur Gross-Matos and you drafted him Epinesa at 6.
Oh, so something different's going to happen there. Okay.
Yeah, I would surprise you with a pick.
All right. I'm excited. At number 22, I've got the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm going with Dillon Moses, linebacker from Alabama. Even if he doesn't play this year, I think he's got enough tape and enough physical upside to draft him in the first round, especially a team like the Chargers. They're counting on Thomas Davis to play a big role for them. They've had a real interesting situation over the last couple of years at linebacker, playing a lot of safeties down, not even using linebackers at times. Some of the linebackers they have are limited. I can get a lot of those problems solved in one player here, and Dylan Moses can be the quarterback of that defense. Give me Moses 22 to the Chargers.
Joseph, you broke my heart with that pick.
You wanted him for Oakland?
I wanted him bad for Oakland, but I didn't get him. So, as I said, I'd initially given them Yetur Gross-Matos and realized it after the fact. That's why we draft ahead of time. And I'm looking at the names that came off the board after. And this is a little bit of a wild card here, Joe, because I will reserve my right to swipe a player. But I'm not going to do that.
Oh, Jesus, man.
I'm not going to do that because somebody played this weekend and it was a really big deal that they did. And it also happens to be a player at a position of need for the Oakland Raiders. And assuming that health is not a problem for this player, this is a first round caliber prospect. Do you have any idea who you're talking about?
I'm 100% fascinated right now. I have no idea.
The Oakland Raiders, with the 23rd pick via the Chicago Bears in the 2020 NFL draft, will select Trey Smith.
Woo!
Interior offensive lineman. Do not play him at tackle.
Let's go!
Ass Tennessee kicker. Volunteers. Guy will punch you in the mouth. Did you see him collect that slab against Georgia State?
Killed that guy, yes.
So yes. Georgia State or Georgia Southern? I can never keep them.
Georgia State. Georgia Southern's halfway decent. Georgia State's 2-10 last year.
And they beat Tennessee.
At home. Yeah. It's bad.
At home.
Bad. That never happened to Butch Jones.
If
never.
Trey Smith has clean medicals, he is a top 25, top 30 caliber talent at offensive guard.
Preach.
Reach.
No, I said preach. Preach. Yes, that's P is important there in that word, you know, preach and reach.
So get Reggie Incognito out of here and give me Trey Smith.
All right, I've got, what is this, pick 24. I've got the Atlanta Falcons. I've got Vic Beasley, who's not too good. Tack McKinley, who's not necessarily met expectations. How about a chess piece like Clavon Chaisson? Is that how you say it? Edge?
Clavon Chaisson.
Yeah, okay. Chaisson from LSU, the edge. Big-time 2017 season and was hurt last year. But if you go back and watch his tape, man, you see a really exciting player in terms of physical gifts. And I'm looking for him to put it all together this year. This is the type of player that not a lot of buzz over the summer, but if he has a season, I think he can. We're going to talk about him as a top 25 pick.
And I have a confession to make.
Yeah, go ahead.
I almost took him with the Ravens at 17.
So there you go. I mean, it's he's definitely worth this range and would give Atlanta a versatile type edge rusher. Like, I don't think he's just a player that plays as a true edge. I think he can do some stand-up stuff and work in space. So I think he's versatile. Dan Quinn can have a lot of fun with him in that defense.
You watch him against Miami in the season opener in 2018.
Killer, yes.
He was like Josh Allen, like a more explosive Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's a good comp. Stronger, too.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, he is very, very promising. Want to see a little bit more pass rush out of him. But I think if he stays healthy and he plays well and decides to come out, like bottom of the first round is the floor for him.
Yeah.
Cleveland Browns on the clock at 25. We're coming down the home stretch here, Joe. I'll make this quick. We talked about the offensive line being an area of weakness for the Cleveland Browns already. I don't see any offensive tackles that I absolutely love here, but they do have another interior offensive lineman on the board in Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma that I really like. I think he'd be a great fit. Kind of plug him in. Let's build that line from the inside out. Make sure it's sturdy in front of Baker Mayfield.
I got the Steelers at number 26.
This is a peak Steelers pick, by the way.
Right. It just felt right. It just felt right. T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson. I think this allows Juju to really remain in that slot role. You have James Washington as your other outside receiver. And just making sure that Ben has the weapons he needs late in his career to maximize whatever's left. And I really like what they've done on defense to kind of shore some things up, like their offensive line. Just give me another weapon on the outside and allow everybody to be better on that Pittsburgh offense.
All right, so the Green Bay Packers are on the clock with the 27th pick. We had this team going 11-5 last year. And I look at this roster, and I love what they did as far as overhauling the defense. Pass catchers is an area of who's going to step up below Davante Adams. Is it Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison? Why don't we draft somebody? This team just said farewell to Randall Cobb, right? How about a guy who could probably play in the slot, has speed to burn, very dynamic player. I think he's got good good explosiveness and ball skills. Jalen Reagor from TCU. I think he could be a very dynamic, explosive play guy, especially not being asked to be the focal point with Davante Adams there in that wide receiver room. Aaron Rodgers, as you said, with Ben Roethlisberger getting into the tail end of his career, let's make sure he has every target necessary for him to be the absolute best he can be.
Got the Los Angeles Rams here at number 28. And this Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib thing hasn't been great. And I know it's only been 1 year, but I think Talib is definitely towards the end of his career. And we don't have a lot of long-term young answers behind those guys. Let's get one here. And Trayvon Diggs, the fifth corner of the first round out of Alabama. And I think there's a chance he can go much higher than this. I mean, he was outstanding against Duke. And I thought, if he came out last year, he was in the first round discussion. So this is a deeper corner class, and there's different dynamics in this class, which changes that discussion a little bit. But former wide receiver, good ball skills, and there's a lot of exciting physical upside here. This would be, if he gets to this range, this is a Rams pick all day.
So this is five corners and six wide receivers.
Good year to get a guy on the perimeter, man.
New England Patriots on the clock. I'm not going to give him a corner or a wide receiver. I'm going to stay true to the Belichickian way, right? Let's draft in the trenches early. An Alabama guy. We just saw the promo for that HBO special with Belichick and Nick Saban. That connection, those two guys, that's going to be a great watch. But Belichick's going to continue that pipeline. Raekwon Davis is still on the board. And Raekwon Davis, to me, feels like a very New England Patriots-esque pick. Very impressive build and physical strength and explosiveness. And if you can get him to really clean up hand counters and getting hands off his frame once he's engaged, this could be an absolute steal at the end of the first round.
All right. Let's see here. What I've got. The Saints here at number 30. I know you hate this pick a lot.
I do. I do.
You had a reaction when we made the picks in the spreadsheet that I can't read out loud here on the air. 30, New Orleans Saints going with a linebacker here. They've been needing some linebackers, man. They've been massaging this linebacker situation here lately here, trading for Kiko Alonso, and I think they signed somebody. They need a true second-level enforcer. I like what I saw from Kenneth Murray, his linebacker from Oklahoma, in that Houston game. I need to go back and watch some more of his tape, but I think this is a pretty limited linebacker class right now. And he looked like one of those tone-setting enforcer-type players that has good range. He played fast. And we'll go with a little bit of a surprise pick here at the end of the first round for the Saints.
Imagine drafting a linebacker and not drafting Miles.
Not drafting who?
T. Wright.
Oh.
Georgia kid.
Oh. Sorry.
For a team from a conference that actually plays defense. Kansas City Chiefs on the clock here, Jill. And they're going to take a corner because this team needs corners in a bad way. So that makes it six corners and six wide receivers in the first 32 picks. Clemson corner A.J. Terrell, who I was watching some of last night and really, really liked what I saw. I thought he was very smooth. He's physical. He's quick to close. He's not the most explosive hitter, but he's not afraid to tackle. And because he's aggressive stepping down, it works pretty well for him. So A.J. Terrell, another notch for those Kansas City Chiefs as they look to rebuild that defense to complement the offense with Patrick Mahomes to help.
Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles here at number 32. Could have went a lot of different directions here, but I want to get them a chess piece on defense, a back-end guy, a back-seven guy, I guess. Hamza Nasr-Ladin from Florida State. He went to the same high school as my wife, something I unpacked when I was researching him the other day. And look, I mean, he's still developing. You know, he was Florida State's leading tackler last year. Kind of plays this safety linebacker hybrid role, a lot like Isaiah Simmons does in Clemson. Similar type physical upside in terms of size, mobility, the way they're built, their physique. I mean, just the type of guy that you want in today's NFL and these defenses. You really got to be able to account for a lot. You got to be able to play sideline to sideline. Got to be able to play fast, take away some of the matchups. And I think that this is a type of player that can do that. I think even though you have Malcolm Jenkins in place, you could still play him kind of as a weak side linebacker, and you can move him around, you know, in sub packages. And I think he'd be really fun for Jim Schwartz and really help them take away some of these matchups that the NFL today poses against you. So Hamza Nasruldeen, hybrid player from Florida State.
That is the end of the mock. All 32 picks are in. Joey did pretty good. 35 minutes.
Not bad. We're not going to be late. Yeah.
I am proud of us. That's a big accomplishment. It took us less time to do this mock draft than it took to do takes on takes yesterday.
Yeah.
How about it? So we're doing picks against the spread tomorrow.
Yep. Yep.
Notre Dame did not cover minus 19. So
who would have thought that, man?
So Joe finished, you're effectively two games better in the win-loss column, but Northwestern pooping their pants is really the difference between us being tied right now.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
Yeah, I do hate to see it. You're absolutely right. Come back and find out who we're picking next week here on Draft Dudes.